Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers.
Hello. I'm just jumping right in.
I know. You are eager today.
I am.
We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Yes.
And it's December.
I know. I can't believe this year just went so fast. I mean, Thanksgiving was already a couple weeks ago. Seems like just yesterday.
And so growing is not really happening at the moment.
No.
Making, yes. Enjoying wine.
Lots of enjoying wine and cocktails, as we'll talk about today, which is super exciting. But yeah.
Indeed. So what is going on in the vineyards right now? I mean, a lot of the leaves are gone.
Yes.
It's a quiet time.
So the vineyards are dormant, which is, you know, they're taking a little rest. Like, I think we'd all love to hibernate for the winter a little bit. So that's what our vineyards are doing. You're seeing probably around the county, if you're still seeing crews out in the vineyards working, most of them are starting to pre-prune or actually start the pruning process, which is essentially the reset of the vineyards for the next year. So it's kind of always crazy to me that as soon as we get done harvesting, we give the vines a little bit of water to sort of help the nutrients set them for their dormant period. And then we're right back at strategy setting with the pruning for the next year. So it's kind of, you know, the cycle. But I know the grape growers always like to say that as soon as they literally get the weigh tag from the winery partner, they are starting to think about the next year, and that's really where the heavy lifting of the winemakers start. And so lots of fermenting tanks of wine, I think, around Sonoma County still.
And so when a harvest happens as late as it did this year, does that affect when the pruning happens? Does it happen still roughly when it would have, or is that also sort of kicked back?
It gets pushed a little. You know, we saw when the season ends early, like it did in 2022, they were able to prune a little sooner than normal. So most of the pruning is really heavily done in January and February, because you don't want to go too early, because then you sort of set yourself up for potential frost in the spring with an early bud break. But you will see, you know, just lots of cleanup, you know, taking care of the vineyards, and some pre-pruning, which is sort of the initial sort of cut of the bud wood. So they won't exactly have gone through the full pruning process, but sort of the original cleanup happens right now in some of the vineyards, kind of depending on time and number of employees that are available to work. So, but yeah, I think most of the pruning tends to really happen kind of into December, and then January, February are the big months.
All right. Well, I would also say that these are big months for thinking about supporting local businesses.
Absolutely.
And maybe joining friends somewhere for a cocktail.
Absolutely.
As well as some wine.
I was going to say, you can have wine, cocktails. It's part of, I think, what makes Sonoma County so wonderful is not only do we have amazing winemakers and farmers here, but those farmers also craft and grow other things that go into other beautiful beverages that we all get to enjoy. So, and there's nothing wrong with starting your evening or afternoon with a cocktail and then moving on to a bottle of wine. So,
absolutely. So our guest today is an expert on all things cocktail and Sonoma County, I will say. He is somebody I've long admired and felt was a friend. He is Scott Beatty, the beverage director at Barn Diva. We have known each other for many, many years. He started the cocktail program at the original Cyrus in Healdsburg. But he also wrote a book that I, you know, is one of my go-tos, which is called Artisanal Cocktails. And it was drinks inspired by the seasons from the bar at Cyrus. But since his time at Cyrus, he's worked at many other places. He's now at Barn Diva, as I mentioned, where he's able to also grow and forage seasonal ingredients for the cocktails that he makes there. He sources them throughout Sonoma County, and he also teaches some cocktail classes. So I think we're going to talk about his inspirations. We're going to talk about cocktail making.
Yeah.
Maybe get a few ideas for things that we and our listeners can make over the holidays.
No, I love it. And I'm really excited to meet Scott. I actually haven't met him. I believe I've enjoyed some of his cocktails at Barn Diva. So I've been inspired by him. But it'll be great to actually have him in studio and get to know him a little bit. So certainly a name well known around Sonoma County and synonymous, as you said, with delicious cocktails.
Okay. Well, what's your go-to cocktail this time of year?
Oh, gosh. You know what I'm curious about making is a peppermint martini. That's been like rolling around. I've kind of been digging vanilla vodka lately, but as you know, because we've done this on occasion, I do really just like a dirty vodka martini. That would be my go-to year-round. But I also just think it's so fun to use local ingredients inspired in a cocktail. And that's something we get to do especially well here in Sonoma County.
Absolutely. So when we come back, we will talk with Scott Beatty a little bit more about artisanal cocktails. To the good stuff, and we are in for a treat today because we are talking seasonal cocktails with our friend Scott Beatty.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Scott. I was sharing when we were kicking off the show that you're a name I know, but I don't think we've actually met. I've enjoyed your cocktails over the years, so thank you for that, and great to have you in the studio today.
Thank you, Carissa, and thank you, Virginie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely.
And I love, because I'm sorry out there, you can't actually envision this, but we actually have a bar set up in the studio today. You know, Michelle let us bring in all the fixings, but I'm super excited about this, because typically we do have exciting things like bottles of wine in studio with us, but it's really fun to see these cocktail glasses and mixers and, like, fruit and like herbs and flowers, and I don't even know what all this stuff is, but I'm excited to find out. So
Scott, you created the bar program at the original Cyrus in Healdsburg, and that is when we first met, so that was some time ago. But is that what brought you to Sonoma County originally, or what brought you here?
It is. I'm a native San Franciscan, so I was born and raised there, and I lived there till I was 26 working in the restaurant business. And the dot-com bubble burst right about 2001, and that caused me to leave San Francisco and move up to St. Helena, where Pat Coletto and Todd Humphreys were opening up Martini House in St. Helena. Mm-hmm. So I originally left the city to be a part of the bar team there. So I did that for 3 years, and during my time in St. Helena, I got to know Nick Payton and Douglas Keene, because they owned a little restaurant called Market, just right in St. Helena. But their bigger plan was to open up what they wanted to be the special occasion restaurant in Sonoma County, kind of the French Laundry of Sonoma County. And this is back in 2004, 2005. So they were seeing the kind of work that I was doing at Martini House, using citrus from my dad's garden, trying to bring some seasonality to the drinks that I was doing, trying to put a face behind the ingredients, including the liquor. I got to know the Karakasoviches, who had Domaine Charbet.
Right. Legendary that was actually, distillers.
Yeah, that was kind of the earliest inklings of it, was using Meyer lemon vodka, handmade Meyer lemon vodka from the Karakasoviches, and mixing it with Meyer lemons from my dad's garden and a little bit of sugar or elderflower syrup, and that was my version of a lemon drop, you know?
Yeah.
Cosmopolitans, I would use Marco's blood orange vodka and mix that with limes from my dad's garden, a little bit of cranberry juice, do my Cosmos that way. So that was sort of the earliest inklings of seasonal cocktails. But Nick and Doug saw what I was doing with the bar program, and they told me about what they were going to be doing with Cyrus and invited me to move out to Healdsburg and be the bar manager there. And I was 30 years old at the time, and it was my first bar management job, and I was just so excited to, you know, to sort of have full control over the program and, you know, execute my vision.
Not a bad place to start, having full control over a program. I mean, that's
right. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But I also think it helped really put Cyrus on the map. To me, like, the bar program was such an important part of the storytelling and the seasonality and the local ingredients. And like you say, putting a face to sort of the ingredients that hadn't really been happening on the cocktail scene, to my knowledge, had it?
No, not really. I think it just honors the traditions of Sonoma County and the Bay Area, you know, going back to Alice Waters and Sally Schmidt and all these folks that really were using seasonal ingredients, considering the time of year, what's freshest, how can you incorporate that into cuisine. I was just doing the same thing with food. I don't think there's not a single original idea in my book. I'm really just borrowing techniques from chefs, using ingredients that have been used before, Learning how to forage for things,
right.
You know, like mushrooms and bay leaves and wild fennel, things like that. These are all things that have been done before. I just sort of put it into a drink program.
Right. But I do think the foraging part is pretty critical to your story and to what happened at Cyrus and what made you such an important figure in the cocktail world. Because I remember walking around Healdsburg with you, and you could point out, well, here's where I get my yuzu, and here's where I get, you know, Buddha's hand citrus, or here's where I get these bay leaves or whatever. And you were able to sort of identify in literally your backyard what people had that would make your cocktails really amazing and different.
Well, remember that I'm from San Francisco, mm-hmm. and not a whole lot grows in San Francisco except for buffalo grass and nasturtiums and a couple other things. But
I was
when I got to Healdsburg, I was just blown away by the fact that so many houses had citrus trees, mm-hmm. you know, in their front yards and backyards. I would knock on people's door and be like, are you using those grapefruits that are falling on the ground and rotting? Like, I'll trade you for restaurant credit. You know, and people are like, yeah, sure, I'll get some free drinks, and I'm not using these things anyway. And so it kind of caught on from there.
I have a lot of trees at my home if you want to come knock on my door, and I'll definitely trade for restaurant credits.
We can work out a deal.
So
yeah, we
could
definitely
just throwing work out that out there for future.
I still do this at Barn Diva.
Yeah.
You know, even during a time of year where you think there wouldn't be very much to work with, which is this time of year right now, it's beginning winter time. That's peak citrus season,
mm-hmm.
is January, February. And there's all these really interesting exotic citruses that you can incorporate into cocktail programs. So that's what we do. Yeah.
So I just want to start with why cocktails, where did that inspiration come from? I mean, because you've taken it to a whole level versus someone like me who's just a at-home cocktail mixer for personal use.
Well, I think I should say, first of all, in my life, I love my wife first and my family. But I love food first, then wine, and then all things cocktails. So
okay.
I'm kind of obsessed with deliciousness. But in my own life, I love cooking.
That.
I love wine.
Yeah.
And then I don't make a ton of drinks at home, to be honest with you. You know,
right.
I drink wine. My wife and I drink wine.
So. Right.
If you don't mind, I'm going to steal that. I am also obsessed with deliciousness.
Deliciousness, yes.
I think that's just like, that could be our sub, like, title for the show,
yeah.
The good stuff. We are obsessed with
deliciousness. Yeah,
I think. So thank you for that. I'm in.
I think it's accurate.
But it does feel like the cocktails allowed you a little bit more playfulness, right? I mean, you were allowed to be really almost a chef with spirits and with all the ingredients that go into your drinks, which, you know, wine has a lot of different things that go into it, but it's hard at home to sort of play with wine, right?
Right.
You just enjoy it. You take in all the deliciousness. But with spirits, it really allowed you to kind of be a chef of some sort.
Well, I fell in love with the restaurant business. You know, I've worked in restaurants since I was in high school. And my early days of bartending in my early 20s, you know, I worked at nightclubs. I worked at bar and grills. And then I slowly got into fine dining at places like Post Trio and Aussie in San Francisco. But I really loved the business. I loved the camaraderie. I loved the opportunity to take all this cash that I was making every night and spend it on, you know, a great new restaurant in town and getting to know...
More deliciousness.
Yeah.
More deliciousness.
Right?
Absolutely.
The deliciousness cycle of, you know,
no, this
food,
was this
wine,
was the
cocktails.
Late 90s in San Francisco. You know, it was a wonderful time to be in the city. It was before it got obscenely expensive. You know, it was a great thriving music scene. There was a massive restaurant scene. I mean, there has been for a long time, but really, you know, progressive, interesting, boundary pushing chefs doing amazing things. And I love jumping into that community and becoming a part of it. You know, and it was just fun until one day it wasn't, when the dot-com bubble burst.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, nobody had any money to go out, and it got kind of sad, and I was like, I'm leaving. So I went to wine country. But
did you find that same sense of camaraderie here? Because it seemed like you came at exactly the right time when a lot of that started to really push here in Sonoma County and Napa as well, where fun new restaurants, mm-hmm. people were really taking chances. They were elevating the fine dining experiences. They were playing with cocktails. They were elevating their wine lists. I mean, do you feel like you had that sense here as well, or has it taken some time to develop?
Well, I would get inspired by people's cuisine, the Cindy Paulsons and Michael Chiarellos and Sally Schmitz of the world.
Yeah.
You have that food. Seasonality is always part of the conversation of what they're doing with their cuisine. And I was surprised that nobody had really done that with cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just taking that exact same philosophy of great ingredients plus proper technique equals delicious results. That's from Thomas Keller's Ad Hoc book. I don't know if you know the very beginning of it. He actually writes it out on a chalkboard. No, it's the same concept, but with cocktails. So learn proper technique, get great ingredients, spirits, mixers, citrus, whatever it might be. Put them together correctly, and you will have something delicious. Which is what we are going to do today when we do a little demonstration.
And we are grateful.
So grateful for the deliciousness that is almost upon us. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, now you're at Barn Diva and you're able to, the Barn Diva itself has gardens that I suspect you get a lot of ingredients from and maybe some inspiration from. They also have a farm in Philo, is that correct?
They do. Yeah. Okay. They have a farm in Anderson Valley. So we get many ingredients from there, edible herbs, flowers, ornamental flowers as well. We do have raised beds on property. I grow some things myself. We're also blessed to be getting things from the single thread farm now, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
I go out there usually twice a week and pick up things. And it's just, I mean, it's paradise out there.
And so does that inform sort of what you'll make, what you'll add to the cocktail list? Is that sort of the beginning of the inspiration? Is what's growing? What can I play with? What does it taste like?
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of what we do, which you'll notice at the bar at Barn Diva, are the ornamental edible flowers which are on the bar. And during peak season, summer harvest season, there might be 45 different plants in water on the bar, and every one of them is edible, non-toxic, edible. Some taste better than others. Some just taste like plant, but none of them will hurt you if they're on our bar. So, yeah.
Long gone are the bar nuts of most bar and grill.
We've moved a little bit beyond the bar nuts.
Yes, edible flowers.
No, but, you know, the herbs that are on there obviously will have some kind of aroma or flavor. Some of the flowers do as well. And many of them are just beautiful. So we put those in some of our cocktails.
So tell me this, because I'm sort of fascinated, because this is not my world at all. But do you start thinking like, I want to make a vodka drink or a gin drink? Or are you more inspired like, I just got the best lemon I've ever had. Now what am I going to do with it? Like, where's your starting point?
It can happen that way. Absolutely. Like, if you were to come and trade me your Meyer lemons, Carissa.
Absolutely.
I would say, you know, do you want something with gin? Do you want something with vodka?
And I would say, yes, I would love to try all of that.
There we
what
go.
Do you have for me, Scott? Let's get creative.
We'll mix them all together and make the world's best Long Island iced tea with Meyer lemons.
We'll call that the Carissa.
Yes.
The Carissa Island. No, sometimes it does start with a particular item of produce. Sometimes it starts with a beautiful spirit that someone has made, a new one. Mm-hmm. I continue to try really amazing new things from companies like New Alchemy, St. George and Alameda. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Micro distillation has just exploded. When my book came out in 2008, there were just a handful, and most of them were in Northern California. Right. Now every state has dozens and dozens of distilleries, every state in the nation. So
it really is
almost too much.
Amazing. And I know you travel quite a lot. I know you travel a lot internationally, but do you also travel sort of state by state to find some of these artisanal spirits, or is that just too hard to do with everything else that you're doing?
I mean, I've definitely found some interesting ingredients in my travels. I remember being in Bali. I was consulting for the W Hotel over there, and I got to see a cinnamon tree for the first time, a clove tree, where star anise comes from, durian fruit. I mean, I'd never seen these things before. And they're all spices that, or at least the first ones I was mentioning, are things that you're familiar with, but have you ever actually seen where it comes from? I hadn't.
No.
So it was amazing.
Actually.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try to grow those here.
I don't think Scott doesn't have to go to Bali. I don't think they do too well. You got to be in that particular climate. That's why, those things come from there. They're special.
Yeah.
We had Farmer Tucker on a few weeks ago from Jackson family, so I feel like if anyone could do it, he could.
He could certainly try.
He could try. Yeah.
He is a friend of mine, and we do get some things from Jackson Gardens as well.
Not surprised.
When we come back in the next segment, you are going to talk us through some different ways to make cocktails. But before we do that, I wanted you to talk a little bit about the classes that you officially sort of do at Barn Diva and how those work.
They're typically for private groups of 6 to 24 guests. And there will be 12 different cocktail stations set out on a large table. And we go through the three main ways of making cocktails, which are stirred cocktails, shaken cocktails, and cocktails that are finished with a fizzy mixer. Mm-hmm. So there's 4 stirred, 4 shaken, 4 with a fizzy mixer.
You said the magic words.
Yeah.
Yes.
So fizzy mixer.
Fizzy mixer.
So those
ones.
You had
me at fizzy mixer.
Yeah, are in larger size glasses, and those are the ones that are going to have herbs and flowers and CO2 in them.
Right.
Shaken cocktails will also be dressed up with some beautiful flowers or nice citrus zest. The stirred cocktails are your Manhattans, Old Fashions, Negronis, mm-hmm. Vieux-Carré. These cocktails are just composed of spirits, maybe some vermouth, a liqueur, bitters, mm-hmm. But they don't have fruit juice or fizzy mixer in them. They're kind of like your Mad Men mm-hmm. cocktails. So those will serve over beautiful ice cube mm-hmm. with a simple garnish like Amarena cherries or orange zest.
I'm a little partial to the Mad Men cocktails, especially this time of year. But, okay. So we have a lot to learn when we come
back.
We do.
I know. And I'm just so curious, like, how much does the ice matter and the glass and, like, all of those things? I mean, there's so many different sort of tools you have to work with, I guess, when delivering these cocktails.
We're going to do it.
And we're going to do it because I see all sorts of things over there that look amazing.
Okay. So. We're going to take a quick break before Krista explodes
into
excitement. I know.
I can hardly contain myself.
We'll be right back.
Do you want to stir?
Good stuff with Snoopy holiday music.
Yes.
Carissa's favorite.
I'm bouncing around.
Yeah, we're trying to recreate the dance moves of the Peanuts gang here in studio. And this is all before our guest, Scott Beatty, has even started making cocktails.
I know.
So just imagine how much dancing there's going to be later. All right, so we're here with Scott Beatty. He's the beverage director at Barn Diva, where he, in addition to making all the amazing, delicious, wonderful cocktails, teaches cocktail classes, and he's going to teach us a few things about making cocktails.
I'm so excited. And just in time for the holidays, as everyone out there is getting ready to host, maybe a little get-together, definitely get out your favorite wine, but maybe start the afternoon, evening, weekend off with a cocktail.
Saturday afternoon Negroni sounds quite good.
Perfect.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. Let's do it. Is that what we're, is that on the list
that
for
is
today?
Going to be the stirred cocktail that we make today.
Excellent.
So. All right, so talk us through what you've brought, and is this sort of a typical setup for one of your classes that you started to describe to us?
This is a typical setup. So the cocktail world is a huge world. There's hundreds and hundreds of drinks out there. But I think about 90% of anything you'd ever want to make would be either, you would make it either stirring it, shaking it, or finishing it with a fizzy mixer. You know, in terms of multi-ingredient yeah. cocktails, of course, there's nothing wrong with a gin and tonic or, you know, might have your special Bloody Mary recipe. There's obviously hot cocktails, cocktails made with whole eggs. But I think most drinks that people really drink these days are either stirred, shaken, or finished with a fizzy mixer. So that being said, whether you shake or whether you stir, you're doing several things. You're mixing everything together. You're getting everything cold. And you're also diluting it with water. Which you want to do. But the essential difference between stirring and shaking is that when you shake, you're also adding air bubbles. So that's good if you're making a margarita or a cosmopolitan. Not so good if you're making a Manhattan or an old fashioned, because those kind of drinks, straight spirit forward cocktails that don't have juice or fizzy mixers in them, are you want to just get them cold, diluted, mixed, and then put them over a nice piece of ice or in a small little coupe glass. You don't want them frothy. And I'll demonstrate this in a second.
How do you choose your glassware? I'm always fascinated. It's part of what I think is so fun in cocktails is to see what they arrive in, the vehicle, the vessel.
Well, I think it should be pretty, but also durable. Yeah. It should be something that makes you happy when you look at it, makes something you want to actually drink out of.
I'm smiling.
And it should be the right size, for sure.
Yeah.
The final category of drink, the ones that have fizzy mixers in them, a fizzy mixer could be soda, tonic, ginger beer, Sonoma County sparkling wine.
Here, here.
It could be any of those things that have CO2 in them. And I'm sure you've had the experience of opening up a warm bottle of sparkling wine and it just immediately explodes. All the bubbles come out. Now you have a flat wine, which is not what you're supposed to be drinking.
Right.
That same rule applies to all those other fizzy mixers that I just mentioned. So most importantly, keep those cold. If you're making a drink with soda water or tonic, make sure it's chilled beforehand. Because if you
Good
take
tip.
Warm or room temperature soda water and pour it into a drink, all the bubbles immediately come out, and now you have a flat cocktail. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
So I didn't know that. That's a good lesson.
Yes, thank I will you. Demonstrate that for you in just a second. So the classes that we teach at Barn Diva, that's what we go through. And you'll get the actual practical experience of making 12 different cocktails, full-size cocktails. Of course, we don't want people to drink the entirety of all 12 cocktails, and they don't. But the idea is that you get to make each one, take a sip, and set it aside.
Yeah.
You know, they're a lot of fun. So if you're interested, check out our website, barndiva.com, and reach out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Right, and you were saying, so you offer private classes, and those are for groups of?
6 to 24 guests, but we're doing our first pickup class on the 23rd of this month.
Oh, a couple weeks from now.
So it's a Saturday. It's going to be at 4 o'clock. Again, just reach out to me through our website, and I'd be happy to get people more information about that.
That's fun. And same format. Just kind of format.
I'm going to max it out at 20 guests, but if there's one person or two people that want to come rather than booking the private group, we can do that.
Right.
So, amazing.
And what a great way to get inspiration for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's.
I know.
Yeah.
People learn so much from these classes, and you will take that knowledge home with you and be able to make better drinks.
And you actually do them at Barn Diva?
We do them at our studio space next door.
Okay.
And if the weather's nice, we'll actually do them in the back garden.
Oh, love it.
With all kinds of beautiful herbs and flowers in the center of a large table, and all of those edible herbs and flowers, you know, we use in the drink program. But not so much this time of year, because we're definitely getting into winter.
It's chilly.
So how about a Negroni? This is a stirred drink. So we're going to make it in this mixing glass right here. I'm going to add the classic combination of 1 ounce Campari, 1 ounce Italian vermouth, and 1 ounce of gin.
You can hear me.
In this case, we're going to use
I've never made a Negroni.
St. George Botanivore gin, one of my favorites.
I love a nice Negroni. And on the subject of vermouth, I mean, it's typically something that you see in Italy and France and in Spain very commonly, but there are a few people who tried making vermouth in California. Have you come across anything recently?
There's one called Rockwell, which is really excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I know you can get it at Bottle Barn.
I saw it at Bottle Barn, and they actually recommended it.
So. Yeah, it's a lighter style vermouth, but it's all local botanicals.
Lovely.
One of the bittering agents that he uses is coastal sage. It's amazing. Really, really great stuff. Great price, too. I think it's like $12 a liter.
Fantastic.
I can't remember, but
okay.
All right, so we've got our ingredients here. And I'm going to add ice about 2/3 of the way up in this mixing glass, and then I'm going to start stirring it. And I'm going to do this for about 20 to 30 seconds. So what's happening as I'm doing that is everything's getting cold, it's getting mixed together, and it's starting to dilute the cocktail. So I'm going to do that right now for you.
Great.
So the mixing glass, if somebody doesn't have a mixing glass, it looks to me almost like a two-cup. Could you use like a two-cup Pyrex sort of, you know, with a spout?
You could also use just a 16-ounce pint glass, like a beer glass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although I do love this mixing glass.
I know. I was going to say, it's actually, it's beautiful.
Yeah, the trick is you definitely want to use something that is made out of glass, not something that's made out of metal, because metal will get cold very quickly and slow down the dilution process. You know, you can still mix everything together. You can still get it cold, but the ice cubes won't break down.
Okay.
And you want to do that. You want to take off some of the sharpness of the intensity of the ingredients here.
I kind of feel like I've been doing it all wrong. I'll just be honest.
And now
I'm not. I know. I've been mixing in stainless. I've been potentially pouring warm.
Well, now you know.
Soda or tonic into my beverage.
I mean, this is why
I do have big ice cubes.
Yeah, this is
because I think they're so fun.
This is a big ice sphere from the Abstract Ice Company, which is in Petaluma. You can buy these at Big John's in Healdsburg, Bottle Barn sells them. So it's a perfectly clear ice ball. To finish this, we're gonna do a little zest of orange. And this is also something that I think a lot of people do wrong. You just want to take off the top layer here. You don't want to get a lot of the white pith because that's super bitter. So you just take it off like that, sort of roll it over itself, and you give it a pinch. And you can see all those beautiful oils start coming out. It looks like it's wet. That's the good stuff. That's what you want on there.
So. We love that.
We love the good stuff for the good stuff.
There you go.
Oh, my
Negroni
gosh.
Negroni for you.
Cheers. Absolutely.
So, wait, quick question about the orange, because sometimes I've seen recipes where it says to almost, like, burn the orange.
You could burn. The oils are flammable. So if you cut a little piece, a little circle off the orange and sort of bend it backwards and cause the oils to shoot out, you can light that on fire.
Okay.
Just kind of.
And that just gives it more flavor or different flavor, or what do you?
Yeah, just kind of a burnt orange.
burnt flavor.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think I in a dark in a dark bar, like kind of a prohibition style bar, it's kind of cool because it creates a little flame in a dark bar. It's neat. Yeah.
This smells so fresh.
It does. The studio smells amazing.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So next one, we're going to do a shake and drink, and we're going to use these two metal shakers here. One is larger than the other. We're going to add our liquid ingredients into the shorter half. This includes lemon juice, gin, Cointreau, a little bit of absinthe, and Coke Americano. Do you know what drink this is, Virginie?
Oh, the Corpse Reviver, yes.
Corpse Reviver number two.
Yes. Okay, so what was number one?
I can't remember what's in that, but it's not very tasty. Yeah, the idea with the Corpse Reviver is it's something you would have in the morning to revive your corpse after a night of heavy drinking.
I love it.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, this is going to be a shaken cocktail. So we're going to do this with these two mixing tins.
Okay. And we are going to come up on a break soon, but don't worry. We have time when we come back from the break to enjoy more of the Corpse Reviver and do drink number three.
Yes.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to seal this up. I'm going to shake this hard for about 10 seconds. And while I'm doing that...
Arm in the air.
Arm in the air,
total
one-handed.
Finesse,
it's a little bit dangerous.
I feel like we need the Snoopy song back.
So I'm shaking it up here. Everything is getting cold. It's mixing together. It's diluting. And I'm also adding air bubbles to this drink.
And I just thought you looked cool.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was all that science going on.
I'm doing my best to look cool with what I got. So.
Okay, should we take a quick break? And when we come back?
We might try this while you're all listening.
We may be slurring when you come back. We're back on The Good Stuff with Scott Beatty, who's in the middle of making a Corpse Reviver number two.
Number two. All right, so we're going to finish this with a little zest of lemon. I'm going to use that same method to bring out the beautiful oils and the lemon zest, and I'm going to give this to Virginie.
Okay, and
happy Saturday afternoon.
I'm going to try it. Thank you. Yes, happy Saturday, everybody. Happy artisanal cocktails.
Happy December.
That's a fun one.
Oh, I feel so revived.
When Michael Bauer was the food critic for the San Francisco Chronicle, whenever him and his partner would come to a restaurant, they would always order the same two drinks.
Oh.
Michael Bauer would get this drink, the Corpse Reviver number two, and his partner, Michael Murphy, would get a Negroni. And so every bartender that was sort of
in
the restaurant scene, you had to know how to make those two perfectly.
But that just gave them away.
So
much for anonymity, right? Like, oh, we know exactly what drink they want. And the interesting thing with the Corpse Reviver, it's not really shocking, but the absinthe taste is very strong. And absinthe, I think, is just one of those ingredients that just shows itself. And I love that anise flavor, so...
Yeah, I don't like to drink absinthe by itself.
No.
Or as it was traditionally drunk, but a little hint in the right cocktail, it's fantastic.
Yep.
So you've got a lot going on right now. There's a blue liquid going into the shaker. What is that?
So we've taken Hanger One Buddha's Hand Vodka.
Okay.
And put some butterfly pea flowers in there. As one does.
Every day.
Every day. You let that sit for about 20 minutes and strain it out, and it turns... the liquor, a beautiful sort of bluish purple color. Now, when this interacts with acid, which in this case is lemon juice, it'll turn a beautiful blue purplish. I should say a purple hue, which I'm going to show you right now. So that's again, amazing. We got that liquor in there. There's a simple syrup in here, which has three different essential oils, ginger, galangal, and shiso. And then fresh lemon juice. We're going to finish this with chilled soda water.
Okay. Nice.
And what is this called?
This is called a drink formerly known as...
Because
it's purple. This is a drink from my book, which used to be called The Violet Beauregard. We did it with blueberries, and we named it after the Willy Wonka character.
That died by blueberries.
I wanted to bring it back and put it on the menu at Barn Diva, but Jill, the owner, wanted to give it a different name.
Yeah.
So she came up with that.
Okay.
I like it.
And maybe this is something that we can we post this recipe up on Sonoma County Wine Growers website
Absolutely.
At some point? That would be fun.
That'd be fun. Really fun.
All right.
So you can see I mixed everything together and I just shook it very briefly. The reason being that if I were to shake this hard for 10 seconds, as I did with the Corpse Reviver, and then add soda water, it would be over diluting it.
Huh.
So we do a brief shake.
Yeah.
The dilution happens with the chilled soda water. I can't stress this enough.
Chilled.
Make sure you chill your mixers. And then we kind of swirl everything around and dump it into this glass.
Oh,
and now
pretty.
We get to have fun with it.
That is beautiful.
So we'll do a little pickled huckleberry on here.
I've never had pickled huckleberry.
Pomegranates, which are definitely in season right now.
And Buddha's hand is something that I remember did grow locally.
Yeah, I grow them at my house.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a tree. It's only got four coming on this year, but they're huge. Yeah, if you want to make your own Buddha's hand vodka, you can just throw one Buddha's hand in like three bottles of vodka and let it sit for about a week, and it's amazing.
That is, and I love how pretty this drink is.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
That's what's so fun about cocktails is it's as much fun to look at them and watch them get made as it is to actually enjoy them, I think.
Yeah, when I was working at Cyrus, you know, people were usually coming there to sit down and have a five-course meal.
Yeah.
And so I put a lot of pressure on myself to make sure that the first thing that they might consume, you know, would look amazing.
Yeah.
That was coming from the bar.
And I love so much that, I mean, I work on behalf of the grape growers, the farmers in Sonoma County. And so I love just how much you're supporting our farmers and all the fresh ingredients. I think that's sort of this beautiful intersection of what you do and what's all things great about being in Sonoma County and local.
So. We're so lucky to have the farmers markets here.
Yes. Well, cheers. Right. I get this one. Since I started, I get the third one.
Yeah, so you've got a little nigella to garnish
it. He thinks I'm more generous than what I am.
Yeah, so. No, I'm not getting any of that, but that's okay.
There's
I got
borage.
To look at it.
What else do we have in there? Borage, there's... button petals, yeah.
I'm going to have to even process what that tastes like. There's so many great flavors in there.
Well, vodka drinks are tricky because vodka essentially tastes like nothing.
Yes.
You know, you said you like your dirty martinis. Well, that's going to taste like olive juice with a little bit of ethanol flavor. But I found if you want to add complexity to vodka drinks, using essential oils and adding them to the simple syrup can make it a lot more compelling. So this one has ginger, galangal, and shiso oil in it. So.
Amazing.
Well, we are up on another break and then a very short goodbye. We'll be back in a second.
And we're back for our final few moments on The Good Stuff. Here with Scott Beatty, and you know, we always Virginie and I do our Tuesday night wine, which is like drink the good stuff. But I think in honor of our delicious cocktail making, we're gonna do maybe we should both do a French 75, so with some local sparkling wine. Any tips on a French 75 for the holidays?
That is one of my favorite cocktails. If you go to New Orleans, people will either do it with cognac or with gin. I like a little bit of absinthe in mine too.
Interesting. Haven't done that.
So I would do 1 ounce of gin or cognac, half ounce of fresh lemon juice, half ounce of simple syrup, and just a little tiny dash of absinthe.
Okay.
Shake that up hard for 10 seconds, strain it into your preferred glass, and top it with Sonoma County sparkling wine. I love Iron Horse.
I do. I know. I love Iron Horse
But
we've
got
a
lot of good sparkling out here.
Well, that's great, and great tip, and thank you. I mean, so many great tips. We've had Snoopy, holiday music, it's December, it's a Saturday, and Scott, I've learned so much from you today just about thinking about how to make cocktails, using fresh ingredients, thinking about everything local, and I think we have a trade coming up soon, maybe off air, in terms of some of my...
It's in the works.
You know,
it's
I am married to a farmer, so we have a pretty good selection of trees and stuff.
I think I'm
going
to just start growing things.
You should just grow stuff.
I don't know what yet.
But growing stuff.
Bring them to me, please.
Wormwood. I'm going to start growing wormwood for absinthe. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure to see you, to spend time with you, to drink your cocktails. Remind us again the class and how people can sign up.
If you're interested in a private class, that'll be for groups of 6 to 24. All the information is on our website at barndiva.com. So is my contact info. If you want to do the pickup class, that's going to be on Saturday, December 23rd, and it's going to max out at 20 people. So if you're interested, please reach out to me, because once it sells out, we probably won't do another one until the springtime.
And you should definitely follow along with Scott on his Instagram page, because I'm sure you give lots of great tips and photos. So that's at Scott Beatty Cocktails, so and BEATTIE. So Scott Beatty Cocktails is his Instagram handle.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Well, happy holidays, everybody. I hope that you get to make lots of cocktails. I think it is a really nice gesture when you have guests coming over or to meet up somewhere at a local restaurant, local bar, order some great cocktails.
There you go.
Thanks
Support
for
our
joining
local
us.
Farmers.
Thanks for joining us on The Good Stuff. And thank you to our guest, Scott Beatty. From Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the good stuff.
Cheers to that.